Joining me inside the barn right here on the Colorado Ag News Network for his monthly interview is Colorado State Senator and President Pro Tempore Jerry Sonnenberg. We'll be discussing several topics, including the Farm Bill, what happened in the elections. But first of all, Jerry, I understand you were in Washington, D.C. recently, and any talk or news in regards to what's happened with the Farm Bill during this lame duck session of Congress after the elections?
Well, it's good to talk to you, Brian. And yes, I was in Washington, D.C. I did some meetings regarding the election, and then also I had a couple conversations regarding the Farm Bill and where we stand on the Farm Bill. The hopes is that Republicans will go ahead and get the Farm Bill accomplished, negotiated and accomplished during this session, before the new legislature or the new Congress takes control. Either way, I would anticipate a Farm Bill in the near future. If they wait until after January, I think the Farm Bill takes a little different direction. And as people may or may not know, food stamps and those type of things are in the Farm Bill. And there has been, under the Republican negotiations, there has been some revamp of that, some accountability placed on those programs. And the worry is with Democrats in control of the House that they may swing that a little bit and take out some of that accountability for those welfare programs.
Should be a pretty busy lame duck session in Congress. You know, also hanging the balance, Jerry, is that United States-Mexico-Canada agreement, NAFTA 2.0, that still has to be ratified by Congress. Do you think they'll get that done in time, or is that going to be back on the table and maybe pull the rug out from under it?
Well, there's a good possibility that any of those things could end up not getting accomplished, depending on whether Majority Leader McConnell and the current leadership of the House are able to get together and move the ball forward. If they're not, then Majority Leader McConnell will be working with most likely Speaker Pelosi, although there is some battles going on who's going to be the Speaker of Congress now. So it's hard to tell, but if Republicans want to get something accomplished, they better get to work and get it accomplished.
And if that weren't enough, we got that G20 summit coming up between President Xi Jinping of China and President Donald J. Trump. Have to see how that goes here later this month in regards to that China trade war and, of course, that trade mitigation package. The second set of payments are scheduled to be put out by the USDA for producers, although it wasn't very lucrative for corn farmers, and hopefully people can get something done there and get that China trade situation straightened out. My guest once again is Colorado State Senator and President Pro Tempore Jerry Sonnenberg. I want to discuss with you the results of the election on the national level. First of all, there was not quite that blue wave they were thinking of, but here in Colorado, that's not the case. It was a big blue wave.
Well, you're exactly right. And let me talk about the national side first. As it turned out, Republicans lost 252 state legislative seats. Interesting, because that's in comparison to 2014, which was the midterm election for Obama's second term, in which Republicans actually gained 306 seats in that midterm. And then the first midterm from President Obama's, Tuesday, it would have been in 2010, Republicans picked up 680 seats. Interestingly enough, I believe 61 or 62 of the state legislatures are still in Republican control, and I believe it was 67 before the midterm. Now, that means that five or six, and I don't remember the exact number, but five or six turned from Republican to Democrat during this midterm election. One of those indeed was Colorado, and Colorado felt the ramifications of a ton of money spent in Colorado. And it was interesting, you can break it down nationwide. Any state Trump maintained their Republican-controlled legislators. States like Colorado that voted for Hillary or Clinton, those were the states that actually lost one of their legislators. So interesting dynamic in how that turned, and the independent voter and how they weighed in. Very few states, however, had the money spent in them that Colorado did at the top of the ticket. And when a candidate spends between $20 and $30 million on a race, that buys down ticket races as well. So that kind of money, those kind of ads from the top of the ticket, influence ads all the way down. And you can look at races like Secretary of State Wayne Williams, who is well loved throughout the state by both Democrats and Republicans, and because of that spending, people just went down the ticket, and if you had an R by your name, you didn't get it checked in those populated areas along the I-25 corridor. So that was challenging for Colorado. Colorado is going to have some different challenges over the next couple of years. We remember what happened after the 2012 election when Democrats took control of the House and the Senate and had control of the governor's office after the 2012 election in 2013. Democrats decided to go hog wild, thought they had a mandate, and they ended up national history of having recalls. We'll see what happens. It'll be an interesting next couple of years in Colorado. And that probably leads us to the ballot initiatives and what could happen there.
Talking about that blue wave here in Colorado, the governor is now controlled by the Democrats with Jared Polis. You got the Attorney General, Secretary of State, and the Treasurer, both controlled by the Democrats. Now, the House was already under Democratic control, but the Senate here in Colorado flipped to the Democrats because on November 6th, Coloradans voted to give Democrats control of the state Senate the 19-16 seat advantage over the Republicans. So definitely a blue wave hit the state. But there's no checks and balances now within the system itself, right, Jerry?
Well, that's exactly right. The Democrats have control over all the branches of government now. And so we'll see what happens. And then if you look at the ballot initiative, it was interesting in Colorado. The ballot initiatives that raise taxes or raise debt, people voted against. So they were fiscally conservative when it comes to voting on ballot initiatives, but then elected the same people that continuously raise your taxes, your fees, and is for larger government. So it was a fascinating study to watch the election this year and how it happened. And we'll see what happens then, because quite frankly, even though the oil and gas ballot initiative went down at the 2,500-foot setback, I would anticipate that with control of this legislature and knowing the background of this governor, understanding that this Governor Polis ran his own ballot initiative 4 years ago with 2,000-foot setbacks. So maybe 2,500 was too much for him, but I would anticipate you could easily see the same type of initiative come back through the legislature with a 2,000-foot setback. So I would anticipate you will see some of those ballot initiatives actually come through the legislature now that the Democrats have control.
By the way, you mentioned Secretary of State Wayne Williams. He put out a press release on Friday that said almost 2.6 million Coloradans cast ballots in the midterm election, giving the state the second highest turnout in the nation, that according to an unofficial final tally. And the breakdown was pretty surprising to me, Jerry. If you take a look at the unaffiliated, 34%. Democrats, 32.9%. Republicans, 31.5%. And other, 1.5%. I would have to say that the unaffiliated probably is what drove this election to the blue.
Oh, absolutely. And again, we can go back to the money. You go back to the money spent on the Democrat side of the aisle. They had a ground game put together to make sure that they got their people out to vote. And those independents that typically lean their way, they did an effort to make sure that they got those ballots collected and turned in, and to enhance the wave in Colorado. You know, Colorado is typically the testing ground for many of these strategies. If you remember, there was a book put out after the 2006 election, and now I can't think of the name of that. But it had to do with how the Democrats put a strategy together to win the election in 2006. Jared Polis was part of those four people that helped put that plan together. And so they put another plan together with him running as governor and executed that plan.
And also one other thing from the Secretary of State's office, as far as the voting eligible population, Colorado ranked second after the state of Minnesota, by the way. Minnesota had 64.3%, Colorado's at 62.7%, and the other top five is Oregon, Wisconsin, and Montana. So, hey, people turned out in big numbers, that's for sure. The turnout by active voters, 75.5%, turnout by registered voters, 65.2%, and once again, that voting eligible population, 62.7%. So, my guest once again is Colorado Senator and President Pro Tempore Jerry Sonnenberg. I also understand that just after the election results came out on the 6th, on November 8th, the Senate Republican Caucus held an election for leadership positions for this next legislative session. Can you share those results with our listeners?
Oh, absolutely. The new leadership, when the Republicans go in the minority come January, is Senator Chris Hulbert from Douglas County will be the minority leader. Assistant minority leader will be Senator John Cook from Weld County in the Greeley area. The whip, minority whip for the Republicans will be Ray Scott from Grand Junction. And the caucus chair for the Republicans in the Senate will be Senator Vicky Marble, also from Weld and Larimer County.
And do you have any results about the Democrats as far as their caucus leadership goes?
You know what? I do, but I can't remember them all. I can tell you the next president of the Senate will be Leroy Garcia, Senator Leroy Garcia from Pueblo. And the truth is, from a Republican perspective, I will throw a compliment out to Senator Garcia. Senator Garcia is one of the level-headed guys that wants to continue the Senate Republican tradition of being the adult in the room. And I think he will govern that way as Senate President. As you well know, sometimes caucuses get their own ideas, and it's hard to control your caucus. So we'll see what happens there. The majority leader for the Democrats in the Senate will be Senator Finberg, who is a Denver senator. And I honestly now don't remember the rest of the lineup down through the Democrat side. Let me also say, I forgot to mention that we also in the Senate elect our Joint Budget Committee members, and our Joint Budget Committee member is a freshman, Dennis Heisey, from he takes the place of President Grantham. So he is from Senate District 2, and look forward to his expertise in the Joint Budget Committee. I did look up real quick, Kerry Donovan, Senator Kerry Donovan is the Democrat whip, and freshman Senator Winter will be the caucus chair. Senator Fields will be the assistant majority leader that sits next to Senator Finberg. That's what I have for the Senate. I do not remember who they ended up choosing. I believe their JVC member, their first JVC member will be Senator Moreno, and then I don't remember who they picked as the second senator to be JVC.
That would be Rachel Zinziger, and then the incoming Senate President pro tempore will be Senator Lois Cort.
You're doing your homework as we speak as well. So, exactly right. I did remember now that you mentioned that. Zinziger will be the other JVC member. She is the senator from that is 2 years in from Jefferson County. And then Lois Cort, another urban legislator, will take my position as president pro tem.
Now, how about the committees within the Capitol Senate? When will all those positions be made public? For example, the Agriculture Committee, the Water Resources Review Committee, Education Finance Reform Committee, and the Capital Development Committee, those committees that you served on this past session.
Actually, interestingly enough, Capital Development Committee meets this morning, which is Monday, and we will have our new members in place there. I have not seen all of the list who will be serving on that Capital Development Committee. I can tell you that those changes have been made to reflect the election, so there will only be one senator from the Republican side on that committee, and that will be myself. So we will see what happens there. The rest of the committees, the Agriculture Committee, State Affairs, all of those are in the process now of determining the number of members in each committee and the makeup of those committees. And once Senator Fenberg makes those decisions, he will give them to the minority leader, and then those will be assigned as well. I would anticipate those will be done. It'll take probably the next 3 weeks yet to have those assignments made, the chairs released, or who will be chair of those committees. So look for that in December, and that's something we can probably talk about during our December interview.
You bet. And also, going back to Governor-elect Jared Polis, it's going to be interesting to see who he picks or stays with for the Department of Agriculture as far as our next ag commissioner.
Well, and you're exactly right. We've had an excellent commissioner of agriculture that has been working under Governor Hickenlooper with Commissioner Brown from Yuma. It would be an asset to Governor Polis to continue with him. But we'll see what he decides to do. It'll also be interesting to see who he puts on his cabinet in Department of Natural Resources, which will have a huge impact on Colorado and how we deal with water and natural resources, including energy production. So his new head of DNR is going to be an interesting choice we'll have to keep our eyes on as well. We have seen the government agencies now go crazy, quite frankly. They've gone off the rails in the last couple of months. I don't know if that is what we will see when this new governor takes place, and they're just starting to continue down that path. For example, the Air Quality Control Commission voted to make us like California this last week with regard to air quality control and the types of cars we can buy and use. You're going to have 35 miles per gallon on your vehicle by a certain date now, or you can't buy the car. We'll see how that moves forward, but it's a scary proposition, quite frankly, to see how our Department of Revenue has gone off the rails, the CDPHE has gone off the rails. They're all doing things that are going to make it more difficult, already doing things make it more difficult for businesses to do business. And Department of Revenue, we can talk about some other time in more detail, but you have local businesses contacting me on a regular basis now on how they're changing the rules on tax collection and how they're trying to generate more money through the way they're changing the rules, which, quite frankly, isn't their job. Their job is to implement legislation, and when legislation happens, then they can make those changes. But until that time, their job is to implement what the legislature puts in place, not to legislate from the executive branch. So that's going to be a challenge as well.
Senator Sonnenberg, what's the timeline for Governor-elect Polis regarding his cabinet members, and also when do new members of the state legislature get sworn in?
The cabinet members have to be confirmed by the Senate, so that'll take several months, and there will be new cabinet members nominated throughout the legislative session and then confirmed throughout the legislative session. I do not remember the day the governor gets sworn in, but I can tell you the legislature gets sworn in on Friday, January 4th. So the new legislature will take effect, and we will see things start to move forward. I'm sorry, January 4th, if I said June 4th. January 4th here in a month and a half. So the governor takes his swearing in shortly after that as well. And I do not remember the date, but everything happens within the first couple of weeks of January.
I know we've covered quite a bit here, Senator Sonnenberg, and I really appreciate your time each and every month here inside the barn. But any other news or events you wanted to make mention of before I let you go?
You know, Brian, it's that time for Thanksgiving. It's to be thankful for what we have and truly are. We are blessed to live in the greatest country in the world where we can change power peacefully. You will see Republicans not throw fits and not protest and not cause havoc like we have seen when other people have been elected. And we are thankful that we live in a country that we can do that, so that we can change power, that we can have elections. We're also thankful for the military and the freedoms that they provide us. And then as Christmas season comes up, I am thankful that we can worship whoever we choose to worship and celebrate the way we want to celebrate religion and Christianity from my perspective in the United States of America.
Well said. Thanks to my guest, Colorado Senator Jerry Sonnenberg, for joining me here inside the barn and on the Colorado Ag News Network. Much appreciated as always. And from my family and our barn to you and your family, happy Thanksgiving too.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and a very Merry Christmas to all your listeners as well.
Colorado Senator Jerry Sonnenberg represents the counties of Cheyenne, Elbert, Lincoln, Logan, Kit Carson, Morgan, Phillips, Sedgwick, Yuma, Washington, and Weld. You can follow Colorado State Senator Jerry Sonnenberg on Facebook, Twitter, and also on YouTube, or by visiting his website at electsonnenberg.com.